shortly after 9/11, my cousin enlisted and went into the Army. He was a third grade teacher. So I always had a cousin in the military for most of these wars, but I had very little idea of what a soldier's life was like. So that began, I think, the initial curiosity, the initial part of it. And then as a journalist, the embed process starts at the DOD level. But once my cousin got to become a captain and company commander, and he was in the 101st Airborne, and actually furthermore in the 506 Parachute Infantry Regiment, the first of the 506, I began to get very interested in the idea of exploring American male identity issues as it relates to war and as it relates to our time spent at conflict.
And so did you leave with them? Did you travel with them to Afghanistan, or did you meet them later?
I had the opportunity to travel with them, which I understand is pretty unusual in this particular area of operation, which was in Paktia province on the AFPAK border. We were relieving, or 4th Brigade was relieving 3rd Brigade of the 101st Airborne. And so I actually got to go in during a time which is traditionally a media blackout period as military is conducting that transfer of authority.
Now, you said you don't, you're a civilian, you don't personally have any military experience. What was it like for you in those first days and weeks when you're living that lifestyle and deep in it with these soldiers? What was it like for you?
It was, I think, kind of like how most of those guys were probably experiencing their first deployment together. It was certainly scary, you know, as I imagine fear was a part of the equation for most of them as well. I think you'd have to be insane not to feel that. The unit lost 5 men during their deployment, 4 of which took place while I was there. And that was also scary because one gentleman in particular was had become a good friend. And so just seeing how vulnerable people can be.
Tell me about the project. If people go to see your exhibition, what are they going to see?
They'll see images of training. They'll see images from the deployment. And those images will largely, I think, explore, push, and pull at kind of the dissonance between the myths and war of, or myths and reality of war. And I found myself riding along in vehicles for hours at a time, passing, you know, very interesting things along the way in the Afghan countryside, and going through cities, through villages. It was all fascinating, but it was all barely visible through probably, you know, plate glass, bulletproof windows, essentially little portholes, not very big, and you're trying to look through the bars on the windows, and you're trying to look through this RPG netting that was strapped onto these vehicles, and it just became kind of comical to me that, you know, here we are trying to operate and prosecute a coin war and a population-centric counterinsurgency, and yet we're in these latter stages of the war, we're bundled up inside of these vehicles, we're not getting out, they run on jet fuel, you can't hear anything really. All of your senses are muted by this, by the delivery system that's carrying you through Afghanistan. And so I began to just make pictures out of those windows. And then as I travel between forward operating bases and combat outposts. I've made aerial images out of the helicopters of the Afghan countryside, and looking at that kind of, if the previous work that I mentioned was a soldier's eye view in the latter stages of the war, well, then the aerial stuff is essentially like a drone's eye view of the countryside, where from 30,000 feet things begin to seem abstract and peaceful.
All right. Ryan, thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks for sharing your time, Aaron.